Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hello, everybody. After what an amazingly weird show. UFC partner, Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad. Let's hit that intro. So, before we get into the main card, let's quickly run through these prelims. Before that, though, obviously, I am Mags, and forgive me, people, I am absolutely knackered today. It's been a long, hard day. Anyway, I am Mags. With me, as always, my son, Carlos. Carlos, how are you?
I think I might be a bit more tired than you on this one, but yeah, it's not too bad.
It's mental. Just been such a long, long day. Anyway, let's get through these prelims quick time. We started the card with Matthews Semelsberger getting a 16-second knockout of Jason Witt. Then we got a decision in women's strawweight with Jin Yu Frey getting the victory over Gloria DePonte. First televised match was JJ Aldrich a decision against Cody Casey in the flyweight division. Then another decision in the lightweight with Nasrat Haqparast picking up the victory against Rafa Garcia, making his debut. Bantamweight division next, and we got a finish with Rani Yaya picking up the sub against Rhea Rodriguez. And then a third round KO for Charles Jourdain doing some real numbers against Marcelo Rojo. And then the feature prelim, Angela Hill finally got to break that strawweight record fights against Ashley Yoder, picking up a second victory against Ashley with a second round decision. So going on then to the main card, and we started with a Eric Anders taking on Darren Stewart. Very English heavy card today. London on Darren Stewart, the dentist. And yeah, this show starts how it means to go on, Carlos, because it was ruled a no contest after an illegal knee by Eric Anders on Darren Stewart. So getting into the action, I thought that Stewart started brightly. Started with the outside leg kicks. It was tagging Anders with shots. You could tell that Anders didn't like the power that Stewart had, and he was able to basically tie up against the fence, needing him in the guts. It was a little bit of back and forth. Anders was really trying to take the fight to the ground because he just couldn't hang on the feet with the power of Stewart. And he got a lot of success with it. He got Stewart in a very kind of a dominant position. But he landed a couple of illegal knees. One what got missed by the referee, but the second one absolutely caught Stewart. Fair play to Darren. He wanted to carry on fighting. He wanted to keep going. When the doctor did the preliminary test, he couldn't even walk straight, so the doctor ruled it off. Now, comparing this to last week's finish, me and Carl were a little bit confused why this result was different to the one we got with Petr Yan and Aljamain Sterling. But that was cleared up that it was because it was not halfway through the fight and that there was a lot less intention than there was with Petr Yan. It was declared a no contest. Carlos, what did you think of it?
I think the decision were a correct decision. Taking it away from last week's event, the looking at in a ball situation, obviously a title fight to start a fight to a fight that, not a numbered event, which is not I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's it should be looked at any differently. But yeah, the decision was right. It wasn't intentional. You can see he didn't. I mean, it was literally in the heat of the moment, and it wasn't as blatant as Petty Hands were last week. So I can understand the decision of what the doctor. But as well, going on to when the doctors asked him to. If he wanted to continue, and Herb Dean was sort of pushing in for an answer. You know what Herb Dean's like, he's always got the best interest for the fighters, but he's been around the UFC for so long now, he'd rather a fighter say, yeah, I can fight and continue. And where the doctor's not, the doctor doesn't give a shit about our entertainment, he just cares about the fighter's health. And when the physician makes a decision to make a call of to stop the fight, he's looking at that fighter, and obviously when Darren started walking forward, yeah, he wasn't walking straight, but for me, he's studying sports and exercise science and doing biomechanics. I guarantee if I was to put money on it, the physician stopped the fight because Darren said the side of his head were hurting. Now, as a doctor, you've got to look at that as, oh, he's a total side. Yeah, you've got to tell me the side of his head's hurting, could be concussion, could be. Hopefully not, and it probably will be not, but the doctors there always think of the worst of the worst, and you never know, brain hemorrhages are real, so that's what he's there, that's what his job is there to do.
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, nobody was any more disappointed than Darren was. He obviously didn't want to go out like this, but it happens, unfortunately. This is not ballet, they're not play fighting here. And unfortunately, things like this happen. The good thing is that the referee realised that the intention was not there. It was just the heat of the moment kind of thing. But let's go into the second fight. And we had Mateus Nicolau taking on Manel Capé. For me, this was probably the closest fight on the main card. First round was very much in favour of Nicolau, using his way, way superior grappling. Was able to really control Capé. When he did get to his feet, Capé was throwing a lot of shots which just didn't land in time, and Nicolau was able to really kind of control and dominate this first round. But then coming out into the second round, it was totally a fight of two halves. Capé sort of landed a lot more shots, and every time he landed, he hurt Nicolau. There was the overhand hook and the uppercut, which looked like it may finish the fight. Nicolau was able to basically recover and drag his way into the third round, which the judges ended up giving Nicolau. Now, this third round, it could have gone either way. Nicolau was throwing more shots. I think when Capé landed, he did the more damage. He got Nicolau to the ground more, but he just wasn't willing to engage him on the ground at all, which, fair play, I wouldn't want to engage him because the guy's Brazilian jiu-jitsu is elite level. But I think Nicolau just did enough in the judges' eyes to eke out the result, and that showed on the judges' cards. Two judges to one, giving it 29-28 to Nicolau.
Yeah, and I can agree. I didn't put 100% of focus on this fight. I was, you know me, I was scrolling through social media at the same time. But looking at the fight, it was a good decision. Nicolau, you can tell he had more of the fire in this fight, and he was pushing the pace when he could to the best as he possibly could. But then, yeah, obviously going into the third round, it was such a close fight where anyone could have took it, and Nicolau did do enough to push it, especially in that third round. And to come in to make your debut for the UFC and get a decision win in a very close fight, but a very entertaining fight, is a good way. I know a lot of people say, oh, decisions are boring, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't a boring fight. It was literally from start to finish, throwing punches. So yeah, it was very entertaining. A full 15 minutes of a good action-packed fight. But going for Kate, you've got a. He's a good fighter, don't get me wrong, but his sort of fighting style seems to be sort of a scrapping sort of style, and he's 0-2 now in the UFC. He's lost his two fights now, which is not. I know it's hard saying it because it's the UFC, it's the best organization in the world, but when you usually start on a losing streak, it usually ends on a losing streak, yeah. And that's when you start getting cut.
And it's UFC in this kind of period where they're looking to cut absolutely anyone. I mean, we watched Megan Anderson literally take on the very best woman's fighter in Amanda Nunes last week. 2 days later, she's cut from the UFC.
Yeah.
So it can happen to anybody. And if you have never won in the octagon and have got a negative win-loss record, then yeah, you're definitely neck is on the chopping block.
Yeah, definitely. And it's maybe he needs to change a couple of stuff up. Maybe changing it to a different coach or changing his fighting style. Or maybe it's just the way his training method is. Maybe he trains too much and he can't figure into to learn anything new because he's got his head caught in so many different stuff. And mm-hmm. It's a common thing in this day and age with athletes. They're always looking to find that next edge over the opponents. And that's why mixed martial arts is a growing sport. It's taking over everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a comment from our friends, Conrad over at Everything Pro Wrestling, giving us a shout out. We appreciate you, Conrad. Thank you for watching along. Let's go into the third round on the card, and again another English fighter, Davy Grant.
Had a fight this was.
Yeah, had a bit of a tumultuous time in the UFC, kind of a topsy turvy trading wins and losses, but Jesus Christ, this was a really entertaining fight. These guys wanted to just kick the shit out of each other's legs for the first round. Just absolutely throwing loads of different combinations, inside leg kicks, outside leg kicks, head kicks, oblique kicks. Grant really, for me, looked really impressive with how dynamic he was with his kicks. But Martinez is the better kickboxer, and he threw quite a few big headshots that could have caused Grant a lot of damage. But what Grant started doing to kind of counter that was throwing a lot of spinning kicks. All of them missed, but at least it was like showing that that kind of dynamic range that he's got. When it comes to throwing punches, I think Martinez had the better of the first round, landing more jabs and more looping left hands than Grant did. Coming into the second, Grant started really aggressively, and you could tell he found his range with his punches. He attempted quite a few big shots, and Martinez was able to counter a couple of times. But every time Grant was landed, it was stunning Martinez, and he was following him up though with the beautiful kind of like. Punch kick combo, which is it's classic in MMA, but it works so well. And Grant was landing that pretty much as and when he wanted to. And then he threw the big left hook that took Martinez down, absolutely drops him. Follows up with one hammer fist, and the referee pulls him off. And now. Davy Grant is now got a positive record. I think that was his third straight win, and yeah, he's a real kind of a signature finish for him.
Definitely, it's good to always have a countryman on the card, and especially getting a win. And with him being in the UFC for a bit now, and like you say, being on a win-lose record, and now getting a couple in the win, keeping it consistent, mm-hmm. especially in that bantamweight division with. Not a lot going on at the moment to then just the top couple of names popping up all the time. And then Hemizudo is now out there. You saw the testing poll. He left that yesterday. So he now is not eligible to fight for the UFC unless he gets back into the pool.
And then he has to wait 6 months, doesn't he?
He has to wait 6 months, but he brought Lesnar. So, yeah, it's So yeah, but yeah, he does have to wait 6 months if he were to get back into the testing pool. So now he's definitely out of the picture. But then we've got all the shit with what happened last week of the controversy with the knee and the Sterling. But I'm sure we'll get onto that in our next couple of parts.
Yeah, let's go into the featherweight division then. Mark Beltran. My God, I love this ref. He's got the best moustache in the whole of the world, never mind in just MMA. But he was so excited for this fight, the way he screams so loud for the fighters to get ready. And he needed a bother because Dan Agi took 22 seconds to knock out Gavin Tucker.
Well, if you ask DC or Bisping, they're going to argue with you. 3 or 6 seconds.
Yeah, well, it was definitely 22. But he only threw one punch, and that one punch landed clean to the chin, and Tucker was absolutely spark out. This was a walk-away knockout, very much like almost a ghost punch. It was Tucker who was actually coming in for the attack, and Dan Agi just dropped him. Great victory, and Dan Agi's now got 7-2 in the featherweight division, and he's definitely must be knocking on that door for a title match pretty soon.
Well, it's definitely knocked on Dana's door for that bonus.
50k, Dan, 50k Agi.
Definitely, you can't say no to that. If you do, he's probably going to punch you. Like I say, he's fresh, so he's got the energy too. He's going to knock you out. A beautiful execution. Don't know if that were in a game plan. Don't know if that were just... He's going to probably say it. His game plan. He's going to say, we plan to go out there and do that, but I'm sorry, he probably didn't. But yeah, what a game plan to go out there and get a finish in the first round in 22 seconds with your first punch. Mm-hmm. The featherweight division, that's one way to make a statement. And you can tell Dana White were impressed, but straight afterwards, Dana White were... either on his Twitter or his Instagram, we were alive straight with Dan Agi on it. And to be honest with you, I don't blame him. When you've got someone who's just knocked someone out like that, 22 seconds in the UFC on television, you're going to give him some press. You'd be stupid not to. And who could we possibly fight next in that division? There is a couple of good names. Who would you like to see him fight next?
I don't know. I mean... Is a win over Gavin Tucker impressive enough to give him top five?
He's a finisher. He's got power in there. He's got power in his hands.
Yeah, I understand that, but you're not talking elite level fighters. And Dan Agi has had bigger names and fought harder people than this. I would have said.
I'd like to see him try and get that win back against Kelvin Kattar. See what that works out for him.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, he's probably going to be ranked fairly close to Kelvin now. Maybe someone like Kareem Zombie almost, because I think Kareem Zombie's last fight, did he lose to Brian Ortega?
TCD Ortega, that could be a... I say there's names for him in that division, so he's scoped to move and get close to Volkov, but it's one of them divisions now that's slowly turning into a set of killers, especially when you get into the top five. Mm-hmm. Getting to the top 10, you're starting to push it, but when you're in that top five, you know you're in that top five there. That's when you the fighting and the skill really starts.
Yeah, well, Volkanovski has got Brian Ortega in a couple of weeks, I think. So he may want to just hold on to see what happens in that.
Could well be. Or if he's going to press Dana more and definitely get a title shot, try and get one of these bigger names, get a win, and the next title shot will be yours, especially if the title's getting defended in a short period of time.
Just looking up these featherweight rankings now, and Max is not going to fight sorted. Korean Zombie hasn't. Calvin Kattar hasn't. You get lower down the card, you've got Edson Barboza in 7th. He's got Shane Burgos coming up. Cub Swanson's got J.K. Chikadze. Arnold Allen, who's rounding out the top 10, has got Sadiq Youssef. So The options aren't really there for him just yet, but over the next month or so, I'm sure that division is going to settle itself out, and we'll see where Dan Hardy lies in that.
Yeah, well, let's say, because his next fight is not going to be a title shot, because the person who's probably going to have a title shot after Ortega is probably going to be Max, just for the work he did against Qatar. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd put money on it, it's going to be Qatar. If I was to put money on it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. So let's get into this co-main event and another first-round finish. Misha Sherkinov must be worried about how his UFC contract's going to be coming up, taking on Ryan Spann. I thought that Misha started fairly bright. He threw a really decent head kick, tried to kind of grapple with Spann, but Spann was just too strong for him and just was able to push him off at will. We got a little bit of a break in the action when Misha gave Spann a good old dick kick, but he recovers and absolutely destroys him for doing so. Landed a huge right hand. Sherkinov went down. He actually recovered from that, which I was really, really shocked with. He was taking an absolute pounding, and Ryan Spann just let him get back up to drop him again. Brilliantly played. Landed the follow ups, and the fight was finished.
Yeah, he's again another person who's making his debut. Another person who's made a good statement. Mm-hmm. Best in the light heavyweight division. A title that's just recently been defended, got eyes on that division with it being so freshly defended. And yeah, like you say, I don't know if it were just first round nerves or first fight nerves, but yeah, he did seem to start a bit slower. And if you were to look at it initially from the start, you'd think maybe he's going to lose his fight. Mm-hmm. And then he turned it on, like getting after the first couple of minutes of the fight, the first round going, he started to turn his own pace up and started to work it as he wanted to. And yeah, the finish, man, was unreal. From a person who's making his debut, he's got a, if he carries on like that, he's definitely got a bright future in that light heavyweight division.
Yeah, I think he's only a young guy as well. He's not really old, and you could tell it meant a lot to him because he was so emotional after the fight.
Yeah, and that's, I love to see that, but I know I've just said about Dan Hardy going up and basically getting a big shot, but that's a different name. But with this guy, you've got to, well, I like to look at him differently and always think maybe what could happen if you don't push him too fast. Because obviously we know what happens if you push him too fast, but we've had that happen time and time again. They lose the confidence, and next thing you know, they're getting caught and fighting for one Bellator or PFL or all the other promotions out there, and they don't ever get that real chance to shine. And Tom Aspinall, Darren Till's training partner, who's fighting pretty soon, I think. I like his attitude. He's in the heavyweight division now. He knows that in that top 10 division, that top five, there's a absolute killer's row in front of you. Mm-hmm. So if you don't bring your A game every single fight, you're never going to get a title shot. And if they were to have Ryan sort of take his time and not pick his fights, because a lot of people say, oh, you're just picking your fights. You're not, in a sense, picking your fights for the easiest fight. You're picking the fights for which best suits you if you win. Mm-hmm. Generally, yeah, that might not be the easiest fight. You're in the UFC. If you're trying to look for an easy fight, you shouldn't be in that organisation. But yeah, I can understand from a business sort of point of view, what fight do you pick that moves you up in the next spot? But then also you've got to look at it as you don't want too big of a name, whereas, oh shit, I might lose this fight. You're losing confidence already. So how's that going to work? Because if you do beat him and you're already thinking that, it's going to be worse next time when you're fighting someone who's doubly the opponent's rank you've just fought. So yeah, I think I'd like Ryan to just chill out and take his time in that division, because I don't think Han's going anywhere anytime soon.
No, and this is really two fighters on totally differing paths. I mean, it wasn't long ago that Misha was looked at as maybe a potential
title contender almost. He was certainly in the mix, and then a couple of bad results, and he's dropping down the rankings, where Ryan Spann has picked up some really decent wins, and he's climbing the rankings. So yeah, I think I agree with you that he doesn't want to jump too far ahead. This is a disgustingly killer division, and the last thing you want to do is kind of learn to run before you can walk.
Definitely.
So let's get into the main event. Leon Edwards. Wow. I just feel so bad for him. This is a guy who sat on the sidelines trying to wait to see how this welterweight division pans out. Was promised title match after title match after title match. Sat on the sides. Saw other people get the shots that he was supposed to get because of COVID and not being available. Saw that people were just not willing to fight him. So his fights were getting cancelled left, right and centre. Sees fighters dropping out of fights and getting last-minute replacements. And Bilal Muhammad was one of them. I think he only fought a month ago, maybe.
Not that long ago.
And he took the fight on very, very short notice. But as I said to Carlos before we started watching, that I suspect that Edwards may have a little bit of rust because it's been a long time since he's actually fought, whereas Bilal really looked fresh from his fight earlier. But to be fair, I was absolutely wrong, and Leon Edwards in the first round was absolutely dominant. Every shot was on point. He was really hurting Bilal Muhammad, rocked him a couple of times. There was a brilliant shin to head kick, which just made Bilal's legs look like absolute jelly. It's a bit weird that Edwards didn't follow up with some big shots. Muhammad was able to avoid the ones that Edwards did throw and cleared the cobwebs. But then Edwards went in and tried to grapple against the cage, which I thought was the wrong decision. If you've got a wounded opponent like that, you're going for the kill. And Edwards just didn't seem to do. This gave Bilal plenty of time to gather his thoughts and get his head back in the game. And he was able to land a fair few shots of his own coming to the end of the first round. But I still thought that was an easy victory, 10-9 for Edwards in that round. But the one kind of like factor that played into the fight was he got warned by Herb Dean for eye poking, told to keep his fingers clear, and unfortunately he didn't. And then we come into the early parts of the second round, and Edwards, it looked to me like he'd gone for a jab, but he actually went and basically raked his fingers right into the eyes of Muhammad. I don't think intentional. But the fact is, Muhammad went down straight away. Mm. The guy was in severe pain. We saw that there was a lot of kind of backlash about Aljamain and calling him an actor and saying he played on it. I for 1 second do not believe that Bilal was acting.
Yeah, if you think he were acting, honestly, it's go take a class on human anatomy. Yeah. Just how the eye works.
He couldn't open the eye. The eye swelled up instantly. He couldn't see out of it. He was devastated. He was crying in pain. It was that unfortunately, the doctor had to call the fight off. And again, pretty much like the beginning of the main card, because of how short the fight had gone and he hadn't gone past the halfway stage, it's counted as a no contest. So poor for both of them, really, because Muhammad really wanted to take Edwards' spot as a title contender. And Edwards was really in prime position to be the next person to face Kamaru Usman. And now it's definitely all up in the air again. It couldn't have gone any worse for Leon Edwards. And unfortunately, no victory for either of them.
Well, at least Usman gets a bit more of a break. I bet he's happy about it. I'm going to say how it is because I believe this is how it, this is how it should be. I don't really give a fuck if I upset anyone with the way I say it. Even though Leon comes from England and I wanted him to win, I don't believe that should have been rules of no contest. He had a bad habit through the fight of sticking his fingers out. Now, as Herb Dean is a good referee, and I do believe he's a good referee, I do believe he missed a lot of the outstretched fingers of Leon Edwards, and he were doing that constantly. So to rule that as accidental, that's a bit of a piss take, because it were only a matter of time before he got poked in the eye, and inevitably, Muhammad got poked in the eye, and straight away, the eye were bleeding, and the doctor, I don't understand why, again, Herb Dean was pushing him for, well, not in a way, but pushing him to basically say, yeah, nah, he's right, let him continue. Because if I were that doctor, I don't know why the doctor wasn't just saying, nah, he can't fight straight to it. Because if I was that physician, if I was seeing that, I would have stopped the fight. Because the eye was closed, his reaction straight away, it started swelling, there were blood already coming from the eye. There could have been a damaged retina there, you never know. And then what's the point if there's already damage there? For you as a doctor to say, yeah, well, I don't know, maybe it's up to the fighter. That's a shitty doctor out there, because you let that fighter go back out and Leon Edwards jabs him a couple more times, hits him a good couple of times in that eye.
Poke him in the other eye.
He's going to end up, well, as poked in the other eye, continuing to do the same, the poor bad habit that he's got of outstretching his fingers. Maybe this here. There's sellotape your hands shut so your muscle memory stays like that. A lot of fighters, if you can't keep your fingers like that, sellotape them shut so your muscle memory, because again, you to look at Muhammad, a lot of people don't look at it as serious as it is, but Muhammad could have lost an eye. We don't know the damage he's done yet. He still could have potential damage to that eye. The retina could have been damaged. Look at Bisping. Bisping's one of the biggest the biggest stars and the biggest name in the sport who's literally, he's got a fake arm, man. Through the fact is, it got damaged. I mean, yeah, people can say it through steroids or whatever, but there's still initial same. The eye got damaged, and he lost it. And it's the same for any other fighter, whether that being a punch in the eye or a poke in the eye. And that poke was horrible. It went deep in, and yeah, to say that was an accidental, no, I believe that should have been a no contest, a disqualification. And I do believe Muhammad should have won that fire disqualification, because it were inevitable. It was going to happen. And it was going to happen. And that, even the first round or the fourth round, Muhammad would have got poked. And if that fact did got continued, or was allowed to get continued, I guarantee he would have been poked a couple more times, just because of the bad habit Leon Edwards is showing of the outreach fingers. And like you were saying, whether that be in ring rust or because he hasn't been in there in time and he's just picked up this sort of stuff in the gym, and his coaches and sparring partners haven't picked up on it or haven't told him enough about it. It's just built in. It's like picking up shit habits when you're driving. If no one tells you about it, you're going to, well, this is all right to do. Mm-hmm. It's just human at the end of the day. Not shitting on him, it's just human. But
the issue is, though, that he was pulled on it in the first round and he still carried on.
Yeah, but that's my point. So if he was already pulled on it, how can you put it as accidental or not? But it wasn't accidental. If you pull a fighter for doing something and then that initially ends the fight because it's so bad, how can you say that were accidental? You had to tell him in the previous round to stop doing it. And fair enough, he didn't poke him in the eye, but he was still outreaching his fingers. Now, I'm not biased. He's one of our countrymen, and I believe that should have been a disqualification. I'll say it how it is, simple.
Yeah, I agree with you. Got a couple of messages here from my radio techers, brother from another mother, Mr. Tanner Pruitt, the Texas gentleman, saying hello, fellas, and then loving the fact that you used a roll of sellotape as the props and making sure he puts his pens back because his mum will kick his ass otherwise. But yeah, thanks for your comments, Tanner, and I appreciate the love. Let's look forward to next week's. Before we even look forward to that, Rance Morris, aka Ray Cash, the little fish, saying that I suck. Do you know what, Rance? So does Roman Reigns. Let's look forward to next week's show. another fight now, and it's not, there's not as many big names on this fight, but we've seen plenty of times over the last year or so that these smaller cards have a lot more fun action on it. So the three big fights on it is Tata Vasa taking on Dontal and Mayers in the heavyweight division. Then we've, in the lightweight division, we've got Gregor Gillespie taking on Brad Riddell. And then the main event, Kevin Holland, is this his first fight in 2021 after four fights in 2020, taking on Derek Brunson.
Tell you what, after if he wins that, he's title shot speaking there. I don't know about anything else.
And another comment by Ray, and he's backtracking on his terrific words of Mag Sucks with a love you guys. And you know what, Ray? No, I don't accept that as an apology, sir. But yeah, that's that's pretty much us for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Follow Five Rounds on all those social media platforms. Make sure you check out all the networks that graciously provide us a platform to put this content out for you. That's Shooting the Sportsish, that's Chair Shot, and that is Visionaries Global Media. Definitely follow Carlos at Kirby_Carlos. He needs some Twitter love.
And some friends.
And you can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. But that is pretty much the end. Carlos.
Adios, amigos.
See you later, guys.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.